from the studios in Eugene, Oregon, it's Oregon Update with your hosts, Cliff and Robin. You can join Cliff and Robin by dialing 646-721-9887 or by email at talk@krbnradio.com. And now, here's your hosts, Cliff and Robin.
It's Monday, January the 16th, and if you say let us know, let us know, I'm going to reach this microphone and slap you.
I'm not saying a word.
And that's Cliff on the other end, by the way, who's cowering under the table eating the dancing dog cookies again.
I'm cowering out under the snow because we got a lot of it here.
Yeah, Cliff is at the remote studio in Corvallis. Where are you?
This one's in Cottage Grove this time. We get around, but I don't think we've been in Corvallis yet.
No, but don't tell anybody. We might show up there one of these days and just kind of surprise them. You know, last time we gave advance notice, we're going to go to the town. They actually had signs out saying "Go away."
Well, if they can do that for the political candidates, they can do it for us.
That's right. Anyways, welcome to the program. This is Oregon Update, the show that talks about anything and everything, and usually most of it nobody wants to talk about anyways. But in case you do want to talk about it, why don't you give us a call at 646-721-9887. You like the way I just kind of roll right in there with that?
Which, you know, even more to the point to that, if it's something you want to talk about, whether we're talking about it or not, if it's something you want to talk about, we'll stop what we're doing and talk about what you want to talk about. Because, you know, we've got opinions on it, or at least I have, no matter what it is. I've got an opinion. You might not like my opinion, but I've got one.
I got an opinion on that. Anyway, 646-721-9887. You can also join us in the chat room at Blog Talk Radio. Just click on the little chat button there and join us. If you are a guest, however, in other words, you don't have a Blog Talk Radio account, unfortunately, all you can do is just kind of stand back and watch. Cliff, do we have the other chat room open?
We will in a minute. Okay. I doubt at the moment, but we shall in a minute. Doesn't take long.
Okay, the other chat room, which is at krbnradio.com, which is our own little chat room, you do not need an account. You just have to make up a username, and you can join the conversation there. And if you are listening to this program on the archives, again, you can send us an email at any time at talk@krbnradio.com on the topics that we talk about today or any topics that happen to meet your fancy. So, but again, you know, of course, we always like you to give us a call during the live program, if possible, 646-721-9887. Today, we got several things on the docket. We're going to talk a little bit about photo radar and some of the ins and outs of that, and a little bit about what's going on with the presidential race. I guess we already have another member dropping out, and whatever else happens to come to mind. So it's kind of a combination of we have some topics and just a rat and race day. But first, what I want to do is this show is sponsored by Dancing Dog Cookies. Dancing Dog Cookies, they are individually made by a husband and wife team. They're available in select locations in Lane County, and they're also available on their website at dancingdogcookies.com.
Good dog, Skippy. Yes, Skippy is a very good dog, and I always enjoy working with him and like to reward him for a great performance. However, I am always hesitant and very selective in the types of treats that I will give him because I worry about his health and only want to give him something that's really good for him. That's why I always reward him with Dancing Dog Cookies, because they are handmade to order from all natural ingredients and preservative-free. Plus, they come in a wide variety of styles and flavors. Skippy loves them, and I'm sure you will too, so check them out at www.dancingdogcookies.com.
And Cliff can give you a personal testimonial because he keeps eating the samples.
Really?
So, again, check them out at dancingdogcookies.com or you can go to caribbeanradio.com, which has a direct link to their website.
I do want you to know that dancing dog cookies don't work. I gave one to my next door neighbor's dog, and he just stood there, didn't dance at all.
He didn't dance?
Yeah, I expected him to get up on his hind feet and do a jig or something, but he just sat there. He ate the cookie and waited for more, but he didn't do any dancing. And if you don't do any dancing, I ain't going to give you more. Got to dance for your cookies.
Well, I'm going to have to talk to them about that. You know, I want my dog to dance.
Yeah.
Actually, soon I got to get a dog first. Then when I get the dog, I want the dog to dance.
I guess you just have to teach him how to dance to the cookies, the cookie dance.
Yeah, exactly. Anyway, 646-721-9887. It's going to be a weird show today. I'm a little bit under the weather today, folks, so if I sound kind of weird or more than weird than normal, then I apologize. Say, hi, you're just playing hooky because you don't want to drive in the snow. No, I'm actually sick today. And sounding a lot better right now than I did this morning when I called in. But anyway, 646-721-9887. We're going to talk a little bit about photoradar. Cliff, do you know what photoradar is?
I know what photoradar is, and I know that I don't believe that it's really worth the time because, you know, just everything you can think of that anybody could do to follow your speeds and your driving habits, they can always come up with something to fix that. And right now it's interesting because they've come up with a license plate cover that's slotted or something, and you can't take a picture through it. It blocks the photo radar, so you don't get your license plate number. Of course, I don't know if that's going to totally block everything or not, but they've got those on sale and available right now, so that'd be an interesting thing to think of. Maybe it's not going to be a
good thing. As far as I know, they're not illegal either because they don't block the view of the license plate. What they do is that they block it from. It's like if you're looking up on a pole and looking straight down, you can't see it because it depends on the angle. But as long as the officer can read it clearly, then as far as I know, they're not illegal to use.
They're not illegal. They're going to probably make them illegal or work out something. Probably, I don't know how they can put the photo radar, the actual cameras, down low enough that they can see in through that block, but I'm sure they'll come up with a way.
Well, the one way that they are doing it right now is that they actually have the vans. Photo radar vans, which is legal in most of the states in Oregon now. And the laws are quite explicit on their use, and we'll cover that in detail in just a few minutes. What I would like to do, though, just take a moment here, Cliff, and Cliff has not heard this, so got a little spoof for you.
Good afternoon, officer.
Good day, sir. May I see your driver's license, registration, and proof of insurance, please?
Why, certainly, officer. Here you go. Gosh golly, I'm going to be late, and there goes Frank and Judy. They're going to tell everybody. I am so screwed. This is so embarrassing. There's got to be a better way.
Are you tired of those embarrassing roadside stops? Being embarrassed by being forced to stand in the rain while the officer takes their time to run your license and registration in that nice, dry, warm car while your friends slowly drive by laughing and pointing their fingers as the bright, multicolored lights and spotlight makes you stand out like a duck outside of Autzen Stadium? Yes, Albert. There is a better way thanks to the Oregon Legislature and Photo Radar. Getting a speeding ticket has never been so easy and convenient, and actually being stopped by a police officer has just become a thing of the past.
Yes, thanks to Photo Radar, I'm no longer late for my appointments, and I received my traffic ticket mailed directly to me so I can read it in the privacy of my own home.
It's Oregon Photo Radar System putting the speed back in the speed. Remember, it's not just law enforcement, it's revenue enhancement. Sponsored by the Where Finding Easier Ways to Take Your Money.gov.
I'm sure there's going to be an easier way to take your money, but they're working on it real hard, I'll tell you. I wonder how many of those you can get at once.
I don't know. Good question. I suppose that if you run around the block a couple times.
Boy, I tell you. That's the thing. I guess the big thing is, can they look through the window of your car and identify you that way, or do they have to do it with your license plate? It seems to me like looking through the window of your car is kind of invading your privacy.
Well, of course, I mean, there's different arguments on that, but basically what it does is it takes a picture of your license plate and a high-quality digital photograph of the driver. And what happens is that under Oregon law, at least, I don't know about other states, a citation has to be mailed out within 6 business days, and you have to be able to receive it within 10 business days of the alleged violation. Now, you have 30 days to respond to it, or you can send a letter of innocence, which you have to include both a photocopy of both sides of your driver's license, or you can just go ahead and mail the ticket and call it good. But
they don't give you a court date when they mail it out to you?
That I don't know. I'm assuming it would be just like a regular citation, except you're getting it in the mail.
Well, a regular citation would give you a court date and a time so that you can know when you're supposed to be there, and then you can do all this other stuff as well, but at least you would know when you're supposed to be there.
Right. Well, it does say that the registered owner is given 30 days from the date of the citation to respond to this, and I suppose after that, depending on how you plead, will determine if there's a court date or not.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I don't know. I'm not too familiar with getting citations. Of course, I'm old. I'm really, really old, and I don't even drive anymore, so I don't have to worry about that anymore. I can just, you know, maybe I'll be in a taxi cab, and the taxi cab will get a citation or something. You never know.
Well, what I can tell you, let me bring up the other screen here, is that, again, this is basically in Oregon, so how other states are, that their rules may be different. But this is the conditions in which photo radar can only be used under in Oregon. And first of all, it can only be used by authorized states, which so far as Albany, Beaverton, Bend, Eugene, Gladstone, Medford, Milwaukee, Oregon City, Portland, and Taggart. A photo radar system operator under this section may be used on the streets, in residential areas, or in school zones. They may be used in other areas if the governing body of the city makes a finding that speeding has a negative impact on traffic safety in those areas. By the way, this is Ordinance 810438 that I'm reading from. Photo radar, meaning the vans, may not be used for more than 4 hours per day in any one location. They may not be used on a controlled access freeway. So entering and exiting Interstate I-5 is a controlled access freeway, by the way. They may not be used unless a sign is posted announcing that traffic laws are photo enforced. And the sign posted under this section must meet all of the following conditions. Number one, be on the street in which the photo radar unit is being used. Two, be between 100 and 400 yards before the location of the photo radar unit. 400 yards, I guess, is a quarter mile. Three, be at least 2 feet above ground level. Now, I did have a conversation, by the way, with Milwaukee Police Department, and those signs do not have to be permanently affixed signs. They can be portable signs, but they have to be visible. And the other conditions that resolve here, too, is that a city that operates photo radar under this section shall, once each biennium, conduct a process and outcome evaluation for the purpose of subsection 4. which will include the effects of the use of photo radar system on public safety, the degree of acceptance from the public, the administrations, et cetera. But I want to get down to something more important, which would be Section 810439, citations based on photo radar response to a citation, notwithstanding any other provision of the law under the jurisdiction using photo radar. A citation for speeding may be issued on the basis of photo radar if the following conditions are met. One, the photo radar equipment is operated by a uniformed officer. Two, the photo radar equipment is operated out of a marked police vehicle. Three, an indication of the actual speed of the vehicle is displayed within 150 feet of the location of the photo radar unit. Typically, this is mounted in the back window of the photo radar van. D, the signs indicating the speeds are enforced by photo radar are posted so far as practical on all major routes entering the jurisdiction. And again, please excuse me because I'm suffering from a cold and whatever. Citation is mailed to the registered owner within 6 business days of the alleged violation. The registered owner is given 30 days from the date of the citation is mailed to respond to the citation. Jurisdictions operating photo radar compiles with the requirements I described in ORS 810.439. A rebuttable presumption exists that the registered owner of the vehicle was the driver of that when the citation is issued and delivered as provided in this section. C, a person issued the citation under this subsection may respond to the citation by submitting a certificate of innocence or a certificate of non-liability under Section 3 of this section may make a other reasonable response by law. A citation issued on the basis of the photo radar may be delivered by mail or otherwise to the registered owner of the or the driver. So the citation may be prepared in digital medium, and a signature may be electronic in accordance with provisions ORS 84.001 to 84.061. And I'm just going to skim through here that, okay, well, the rest of it gets more into details about what to do when you go to court and stuff. Long and lengthy, but all those conditions have to be met. Then,
I find this weird. You mentioned that they can only be there for 4 hours. Why on earth would they do that? That seems a little weird.
Well, basically, they wanted to set it up. The intent of it is just so that the person running the photo radar unit doesn't camp there all day in one spot.
Why not? I mean, if there's a lot of people running red lights or doing whatever bad things that they're not supposed to be doing, why not let them be there all day? You know, the scam of the fact that, you know, the idea that this is not for revenue, that's ridiculous. We all know it's for revenue. Everybody knows that they're trying to come up with ways to make more money. It has very little to do, I think, with trying to make people better drivers.
Oh, I agree. I mean, totally agree. And when the camera goes off, for example, I mean, like, you don't know if it was you, for one. You don't know what you're now, as you were looking at the van at the time, you don't know what your speed was. In short, usually when you're pulled over by a police officer, you can at least talk to them and find out the information. Where this thing here is just, I want to say factory or conveyor belt style revenue generating.
Yeah, I know. I used to talk my way out of tickets all the time, and this is getting pretty impersonal. You can't talk your way out of anything when it's just a camera telling you that you did this and that's that.
Well, that's true. And actually, one of the reasons why for today's topic is I got flashed by one of those cameras in Milwaukee, and I don't
You need to be explicit. You keep saying Milwaukee. This is Milwaukee, Oregon.
Milwaukee, Oregon. You're right, Cliff. Thank you. Because since we are broadcasting from Oregon, just assume that the whole world knows that, but you're right. Thank you. But anyways, when I went by the van, I didn't see any signs. I didn't see any reader board. All I knew was just, flash, congratulations. What the hell just happened? You know, and when I turned around, the guy was gone. Now, I did do a lot of research. I did talk to quite a few people in both the Portland and Milwaukee, Oregon police departments, and learned quite a bit. And one of them was that, at least in Milwaukee, they have it set to, it'll flash when it goes 11 miles over the speed limit. Speed limit on that road was 50 miles an hour, and I doubt I was doing 61. However, he was saying that since I turned around to go talk to the officer, that since he was gone, chances are he was just shutting down the equipment. That was just a, like with some camera, you know, you turn them off, the bulbs will go off, electronic flash units. But and when talking about the signs, there was a portable sign that was bolted onto a regular sign pole, so it's not like a sandwich piece stick out. So anyways, and the other piece of advice.
In the state of Oregon, does it have to be done from a van? Because I went online and looked at some of these things, and some of these things are permanently mounted to poles, and they take the picture of everybody that goes through, I guess, or anybody in some time, and it's not necessarily for our speed violations. I guess in Oregon, it's mostly speed violations that they're worried about. Is that case? And does it have to be out of a van? It sounds to me like this is pretty narrow evaluation of what's going on. I don't see as to where it helps so much to do things. I mean, why? Well, I guess it would be faster than trying to stop each person and talk to them. But it seems to me like if they had the car at the side of the road and the sirens or the lights going, that does a great job of slowing people down. Where just being out there in a van with a camera isn't going to do nearly as much.
No, fixed photo radar is under a little bit different rules, but it still has to be a sign saying that the area does have photo radar enforcement, and they're set for, again, same thing like the bands, over if you're traveling over a set speed limit, it'll flash you, which again is a little bit different than the red light cameras, which I also think you're thinking of too.
That's probably right. Forgive me, I just knocked my microphone off of its stand there. But that's okay. So basically, we're talking about strictly out of a van at this particular point. Do we have any of the ones that are, you know, out of poles somewhere in the state of Oregon, or do you know?
I'm not sure for certain. I haven't personally seen any of them. I know they're talking about putting them up in school zones.
And I'm sorry, I just put my phone back on that stand there. I went away. Putting them up in school zones, that's I don't know if I like that or not. We're already picking on young people a little too much, in my opinion. But then they do have a tendency to speed, I know that.
Well, it's just like, what was it? My favorite memory. School zones, one school zone in Des Moines, Iowa, that's where it was, where they want to restrict the use of all electronic devices as you go into a school zone. Well, I could just see an officer sitting there going, okay, you're listening to a radio, that's an electronic device, we're going to give you a ticket because you're in a school zone. But that's a different topic for a different time.
You know, there are so many different things that they can do, that the police officers can do, and it seems to me like it's very, I would very much rather have a person involved in this, you know, an officer sitting there and taking that into consideration. I know it does cost more money, and we have to pay for the fact that we have to have the officer there, whereas a camera is a one-time charge, and it doesn't take monthly payments to pay, you know, give it a salary. But it's just, I don't know, it's getting awfully impersonal, and it's pretty hard to accept. We've got cameras everywhere. You can't do anything anywhere without figuring you're going to be on camera nowadays. You know, whether it's somebody's telephone camera or whether it's a traffic camera. What, there's cameras everywhere.
Well, I agree. And since I come from, my dad was in law enforcement. He was an investigator for the state of Oregon, carried a gold badge at the time. And I have friends that are in law enforcement. All of them are in 100% agreement in the fact that this is not law enforcement. They statistically, it is proven that they catch more criminals and felons by traffic stops over minute violations such as a burned out taillight or license plate light than anything else. And mailing somebody a ticket, I mean, if you're a criminal and you get a ticket in the mail, you're just going to throw it away. You don't care. You're already wanted.
Yeah. Of course, what do they do? I mean, do they come after you after so many, or what, you know, and how do they decide to find you? I mean, is there ever a time when this officer in this van can take your picture and realize that you're somebody who's been this 1,000 times and then just take the van and go after you? I mean, does he have to sit there and, or what can he do with that? Does he have inside the van a way of looking and seeing who you are?
Well, and so, okay, see, that brings up an interesting issue because, you know, if you remember part of the thing that I just read, that, you know, the officer witnessed the violation, in other words, you know, as it's being, the picture's being taken. The officer sitting in the front seat is probably looking at a monitor or something or not, who knows. But how is he witnessing the actual violation that that at the time that the picture is being snapped?
Yeah, I do find it very interesting that they do set the limit at 11 miles over the speed limit. So that tells you you can do 5 or 6 miles over the speed. The thing is anybody's speedometer that accurate?
Well, here's the argument they'll give you. Most speedometers are not accurate unless you go down and have it certified, you know, certified calibrated. But they'll tell you that the inaccuracy of the equipment in your vehicle is your responsibility.
Yeah, I can understand that, and that's fine, except that I don't know how easy it is to have that very, very accurate at all times, but, you know. And the whole thing about this thing is you can go online and get these covers to go over your license plate that covers up your license plate, and they're guaranteed not to get a ticket, backed by our no ticket guarantee. That's interesting that you can do this, and I don't think this is something that costs very much. I haven't looked up to see what the price is, but I don't think it's something that costs very much, and you could. They're guaranteeing not to get a ticket.
Well, the problem is, though, like in Oregon especially, adding any type of cover over your license plate is illegal.
Not if you can see through it.
Anything that distorts. In fact, I think that, if I can find it real quick, I think that having any type of cover over a license plate in Oregon is illegal, if I can verify.
Well, I know a lot of people who have plastic covers over so they don't self-destruct sort of in the sun and that sort of thing. License plates are very good, but they do fade out and get bad, and then you get in big trouble because they have to be readable. I don't know. This whole thing, it's getting really carried away. And, of course, again, like I'll go on and on about this. You know, if you're doing something, you don't know what you're doing. If you don't know what speed your vehicle's rolling at, you shouldn't be driving. And if you are driving over the speed limit for any reason whatsoever, you shouldn't be driving either. You know, you should know how fast you're going and if you're going over the speed limit at all times. That's a part of the responsibility of driving a vehicle. And if you're going to go over the speed limit, nowadays it's very possible you're going to get caught at it. And more possible, I mean, every year we keep adding things. We did the radar thing. We come up with every year something new to slow us down. But I still say the old adage of an officer sitting inside the road with his lights blinking away has got to be the best way to slow people down on a highway that I know of.
Or just the presence of the officer itself is a good deterrent. I totally agree with you. By the way, according to Oregon Ordinance 816-010, license plate covers, clear or tinted, are not legal because any material covering or any material or covering other than a frame or plate holder placed on, over, or in front of the plate that alters the appearance of the plate would be illegal. Plate covers, especially tinted ones, alter the visibility of the plate, and most importantly, all plate covers alter the reflectivity of the plate. And that's under Oregon Ordinance 803-550.
So now they're going to have to add to that, and they're going to have to change that, because you can have these things on there. They're $50, by the way. I just looked them up. They're $50, and they don't alter your driver's license plate. You can see it. It doesn't cover anything up. It doesn't change the reflection of it, except from up high. So it's only one place, and so they're going to have to put a few extra words in their laws, I think, to start covering that. Too many people selling these things.
Yeah, and I don't know of anybody that's actually, or at least I've ever heard of anybody getting cited for covering their license plates. But and again, I'm not privy to all that information either.
Well, I've heard of a lot of people getting cited for covering their license plate, but it's usually with mud so that nobody can read it. And then they try to tell everybody, well, that was a mistake. The roads are muddy, and that's why my license plate looks like that. Most license plates are placed on vehicles in places where it's really hard to get them that dirty. And but then it is up to you to clean them off and make sure they aren't that dirty. And so it's a whole different world. It's something they just keep getting into there. But again, I'm going back to cameras. There's going to be cameras everywhere. I watch television and I see how the law enforcement goes in and looks at cameras in stores. The cameras take pictures through the window and outside. There's cameras everywhere nowadays. You can't get away from them. So, it's just going to be acceptable that once you venture outside of your own home, cameras are going to be watching you. You need to be ready for it.
Well, that's true, and they have their places. The problem is, though, when it comes down to automated law enforcement, is that when you're dealing with the mix between humans and machine, humans are going to make mistakes. People unintentionally break the law, like we've talked about in previous programs, 40,000 laws being passed this year. You can't follow a law without breaking another law. And everybody, without exception, has made a boo-boo at one time or another that if they have, a piece of technology that's going to catch that boo-boo, intended or not, then you're going to get cited. I mean, it's just like they want to put GPSs in your car for monitoring the where you go and for the purpose of per-mile tax revenue. Well, if it also keeps track of, how many times has somebody in the past, you're coming up to speed on the freeway and say the freeway is 55 miles an hour and you notice and you look down the speedometer and you're doing 60. You didn't mean to do 60. Just all of a sudden, you're doing 60 miles an hour or you're passing somebody and you're doing just 1 or 2 miles an hour above the speed limit so you can get around them safely. And then you have some electronic device that goes, bink, oh, you just broke the law. We're mailing you a ticket.
Yeah, I have to admit, and I shouldn't probably, but when I was younger and they didn't have radar and they didn't have all these things, I will have to admit that I did drive routinely way over the speed limit. I put my foot on the floor and that's the way I drove an awful lot of the time unless I was in town. I found it fairly safe because there wasn't that much traffic on the roads, but I didn't have to worry about somebody getting me. And I will have to admit, as they came in with these different ways of catching you doing things, the automated ways, the electronic ways and things like that, it had slowed me down. My driving was way, way down as far as speeds are concerned. I was if you want to call it safer driving because it's slower driving. I was doing that, and I've been doing that for years and years, because it doesn't make any sense to taunt or flaunt what you can do if you're going to get caught at it, I guess. So I will have to say it made a big difference in the way I act and react because of the different electronic devices that could possibly get you. So it was very effective in my case, at least.
Yeah, but that's the difference between, like, you got the guy that's sitting behind the billboard, you know, the motorcycle sitting behind the billboard and pulls you over. You know, he can, in addition to giving you the citation, you know, you have a chance to kind of defend yourself at that point. But he can also say, well, you know, sir, you blah, 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 you shouldn't be doing this, and you'll learn something from it. You know, it's not just, you know, flash, boom, now you got to sweat it out for 2 weeks to see, you know, if you get that ticket or not.
Yeah.
You know, what do you learn from? You know, it's like, I mean, police presence, like I say, is one thing, but, you know, setting up the technology on the side of the roadway it's not law enforcement, in my opinion.
Yeah, I don't know if you're noticing the chat room on the computer or not, but somebody's asking about a couple of things. One is how many people are slamming on their brakes as soon as they see something like this coming up, and does that create more accidents? And I'm seeing on the internet that it is actually causing more accidents than it's saving, because people do see this thing and they slam on their brakes so they don't get caught at it. And where does the money go? Somebody is asking that. Does the city get the money, or who gets the money? And who's, you know, we're just getting a little bit greedy, I think. But I do concern myself with if this is actually causing accidents rather than just helping.
Well, what he's referring to is like the red light cameras. Yes, statistically speaking, they have increased accidents. Because people are slamming on their brakes for fear of getting snagged by that camera. In fact, what was funny, I wish I had a link to the website that I was reading on this, or watching on this, actually. It was a video. They were showing the view from this one red light camera and supposedly how it's making people, you know, not run the red lights. Well, in this video that they were showing, there was this bus that actually, school bus, and went sideways to miss a car because the car in front of him slammed on the brakes to keep him going through the red light. Also, what a lot of people don't know either is that the photo radar, red light cameras, the city doesn't own them. A private company owns them, and they get a percentage of the citations themselves. In fact, I can't remember what city it was, but one city was, I think they extended their yellow just a little bit, and citations went down, and they were at the point of violating their contract with the private company.
Well, you know, I'm all for, I guess, private companies, but I think that we should take into consideration and start paying attention to what makes the road safer. We shouldn't be so concerned about how much money we can make or how much money a private company can make. You mentioned that by extending the yellow light just a little bit, the accidents and speeding tickets and things went down. We should take that into consideration. We should take a look at that and realize that and make that difference everywhere. If it's going to save lives and save accidents, that's something we should be considering and doing everywhere, not just ignoring that and trying to make somebody some money. This is we're looking at the wrong end of things. We should be out there to make the roads safer, not more expensive.
Totally agree. And speaking of safer, Cliff, you want to give out the contact information real quick?
646-721-9887. If you got something you'd like to talk about, give us a call at that number, 646-721-9887. We'd love to actually talk to you in person. It's good to see this person, Tony, on the chat room, because he's got a lot to say. But it would be nice if he talked to us as well. But basically, 646-721-9887. If you have something you want to talk about that's other than this, let us know. We're more than happy to stop doing this and do something else. But this was our subject for the day, and we'll come up with something else in a minute. 646-721-9887. We do have all of the chat rooms open. We've got the chat room called krvnradio.com, and on the left-hand side on the menu, click on chat, and it will bring up a chat room. You can talk in there as well, and you don't have to sign in. You can just, all you have to do is put in a handle that you can be known as, George or Roger or Chad, or I've got mine in as Cliff, C-L-I-F, and you can talk in there, and we can see what's going on, too. So you can ask questions and do whatever you want in there without being any kind of a member. Anyway, that's how easy it is to get a hold of us. And if you want to, you can also email us, but the email is a little bit slower. If you've listened to one of our archive shows, you can have questions about that. You can email us and tell us about the archive shows if you want to. The email works good there. But not quite so good. Have we got a phone caller up now?
We have a phone call. And as you are giving out the numbers, I believe this is Tony.
You got
there
it.
We go. Now it's Mike.
How you guys doing? You're doing a good job.
Thank
good
you.
Good topic. I'm pissed. How's that? You hit me right in the nail, baby. Couple of years. I was just in Arizona. Where are you guys?
We're in the state of Washington, or Oregon, rather.
Oh, gosh, you guys are selfish up there.
Yeah, why is that?
So you keep all the rain to yourself.
Hey, I'll be glad to share.
Set you up, knock him down, you know? Anyway, yeah, so here I am in Tucson. This started a couple of years ago. I mean, I'm a heavy foot driver, okay? But I always had a rule. I always said to myself that I would never go over like these 35-mile-an-hour zones, 40-mile-an-hour zones. It looked like the median traffic speed was 50. Anything over 50, the cops left you alone if you were under 50. And I always made a point that if I was the only one on the road, I would never travel more than 5 miles over the posted limit. And if I was following somebody who was also going faster but under 50, I'd stay with him under 50. No problem. I'm driving for 30, 40, 50,000 years. With a ticket here, a ticket there, a ticket here, a ticket there, but not 7 tickets in 6 weeks once the photo radar came up.
Oh, geez.
Now, I'm a big one for personal responsibility, okay? I'm a big one for saying, you know, I do my own show on Blog Talk, the ex-conservative radio. I'm an ex-con that preaches virtue. Figure that one out.
Uh-huh.
At any rate, I'm a big believer. If you step in it, you own it.
Right.
If you step in it, even if you don't feel it's justified, you own it. So I didn't say too much about these photo radar things until they started thinking, wait a minute, we're going to have photo radar at Circle K. You better not put your hand in the, you know, I mean, I'm being sarcastic, but it's all about liberalism, man. This is all about statism. This isn't about safety. This is about liberalism. This is about us controlling you. And, oh, by the way, we can make some money at it because we have to. Because we got so many other programs. I mean, like in Tucson right now, they care more about image than substance. Being, it's a very pretty city. Oh, you come into the city and you have statues here and you have statues there and you got parks here. As soon as you drive 2 miles outside the city, all the roads have got potholes. It ruins your car even. The roads are so bad. But yet they'll put money into art programs and all these really good things. So what do they have to do? They have to get creative. And then when you can get creative behind the idea of protecting the citizenry, behind the idea of, you know, running a government in a safe manner, it's really sexy. And if you can get a third-party group to come in that might only give you 10, 20, 30% of the net, who cares if you didn't have to pay a dime for the infrastructure or any ramifications? Not only that, with the great triangulation of liberalism, they can always say, well, that's not what we do. We just signed up with them. That's between you and whatever the service is. They don't have to take personal responsibility. So I think it's a bunch of statism gone awry.
I'll go along with that, as a matter of fact. But I disagree that I think it is all cash. It's all how much money they can get in their pocket. And like you say, the idea is they can make in a few dollars without having any outlay whatsoever, no money put out to do it. And that's where we got a problem. So it has the city still has to take responsibility, or the county or whatever it is that's doing it, they still have to take the responsibility, even if it's a private industry. I don't think the private industry really should take any responsibility whatsoever. They're putting out a service. That's all they're doing, and they're not to be held responsible. It's the city itself that has to be held responsible for that.
Well, I'll tell you what, you're bringing a lot of psychology.
Well, to bring one little point into it as well, is that technically, let's say speed limit is 50 miles an hour. Technically, you're supposed to do 50 miles an hour. There's no variance. They could set the equipment up so if you do 51, you're getting a ticket. Speed limit was 50. What are you doing 51?
Well, and that's what they do with the machinery. That's what they do. Unlike the person, police officer that has personal discretion, where the old adage of protect and serve now becomes intimidate and control, instead of that police officer that catches you 2 miles over the speed limit pulling you over and say, now sir, you weren't driving bad, but you must be aware of the accidents that could be caused. Please slow down and have a good day. That never happens anymore because of the mentality, because of the atmosphere, because of the paradigm, because of the natural law regarding the psychology that happens when you do this kind of behavior on both sides of the fence. We don't feel like we're being nurtured by the police or by the city in terms of protecting us. We feel like they got one hand in our pocket and the other bending us over while we're supposed to be smiling.
And
so
to a certain extent,
emotionally, I don't think it's healthy psychology.
And to a certain extent, this is actually true, but I think it more has to do with cash. Still, we're short.
No, cash rules, absolutely, sure.
Yeah.
But that's the excuse. You see, that's the handy excuse. We need cash.
Well, we do.
It sets anybody else's up in terms of, well, how about my number two reason? Do we now discount that because the number one reason is cash? Sure, you're right that it's mostly cash, but I'm saying underneath that is all the other stuff that brings it to the cash. The cash is just another curveball. It's not another curveball. It is about the cash. But what I'm saying to you is when you make it only about the cash and not about the bigger picture concerning the benefit to the greater public good, then you become a whore, a pimp, a prostitute. Which one are you? In the case of the city, they're the pimp. In the case of us, we're the trick. In the case of the city's the pimp, the third-party purveyor is the whore, and the drivers are the tricks. And that's all this becomes.
Well, I can see your point. I can see your point.
Great show, great subject. You got my curiosity. I'll be looking for you again. Nice talking to you, gang.
All right. Thanks for calling. Have a good day.
All right.
Okay.
Thanks, Tony. And again, Tony has his own blog on The Ex-Conservative. And check that out. I've listened to his programs before in the past, and he has just as much energy as he just put on today, so it's really good. Tony, again, thank you for checking in. And I hope you call back again.
But it is interesting that things are getting worse because of the fact that nobody has any money. Everybody's trying to make a buck on everything they can do. So law enforcement, that's their thing, and it's turning law enforcement into machines. Whether it's even the officers are being turned into machines. I think it's not a good thing. It all boils down to our economy. Our economy is horrible, and we need to do something about fixing our economy. And that's what will help a lot of this. It'll take the pressure off of many, many, many people. That's our problem at this point.
Yeah, but like Tony says, and I've said in the previous programs, is, I just lost my thought, but the balance between raising money and law enforcement or raising, and where does the money go? You know, like what I've said before, and like Tony brought up about the potholes. You know, we kid that we don't have any money to fix our potholes, but we got money for art. But yet, some people suggest that we make the pothole the art, and maybe they'll, I mean, they go ahead and paint it pink. I don't care as long as it dries smooth over. the more that they come up with these pet projects to spend their money on, the less money they have, and so they have to come up with other creative means to make money. And everybody messes up. I mean, like I say, you could be the perfectly law-abiding citizen. You could go up to 60 miles an hour by mistake, notice it, correct your actions right there, but too late. But the electronics got you. You're going to get a ticket. Where otherwise, an officer would have gone. Oh, obviously, they noticed their mistake and corrected it. No big deal.
But we're going to have a lot of accidents while people are correcting their mistakes.
Well, how do you figure?
Well, you got a person driving along, and all of a sudden they realize they're going too fast, and there's one of these vans or one of these things on a pole or whatever, and they're going to slam on the brakes. Well, the person behind them doesn't have the same thoughts that the person in front has, and so they're not going to be prepared for this, so they're going to probably run right into them or something of that sort. There's just too many variables. If you've got an officer out there, they can take into consideration all of this stuff. The camera doesn't take into consideration who's up behind you, what speed they're running at. They're taking one picture at a time, and if that's going to cause a problem, then it's going to cause a problem. Where a real-life officer can look and see what's going on and can make some sort of an informed or an educated judgment that the camera can't. Well, unfortunately, it all boils down to the fact that we can't afford enough officers on the road at this particular point to have them doing the job. We've got to go out there and try to find a way to do it cheaper, which is with a camera. And, of course, we're doing everything with cameras now. So in some ways, I don't mind cameras. Cameras are doing so many different things and allowing us to check on things. We can find out what has happened after the fact in many instances where we couldn't ever do that before because we got so many cameras taking pictures. But on the same token, where there should be people, there should be people. And working with live offenses as far as like speeding and traffic offenses, we need to have real life people on the road.
Well, what's something I want to touch on real quick, too, is like you're saying as far as like the red light cameras hitting the brakes. I'm just going to go back to my experience. You know, yeah, when I came around the corner and I saw that van, yeah, it got my attention, of course, of the van being there, just like coming around the corner normally and going, oh, no, I'm doing 40 miles an hour, and you come around the corner and you see the sign says 30 miles an hour, and you just quickly drop down your speed to get to 30 miles an hour. Is when that flash goes off, I was startled. It's like, what the hell? And I dropped my speed down real quick, trying to figure out what the hell just happened. And then, you know, for one thing, trying to figure out what did I do wrong that the lights went off. I didn't think I was going that fast. Of course, then again, because I came out of the side road, I didn't know what the speed limit was. It's a four-lane road. I thought it was basic rule. That you know, later on down the road, it says 50 miles an hour. Well, still, you got the 5-mile-an-hour, you know, a lot of times, well, not legally, technically, but, you know, little room. But it's how you react. Now, if there was an officer just sitting on the side of the road, you know, marked unit, you'd be like, oh, okay, well, you know, check my speed, make sure everything's cool and whatever. And if I do get tagged, well, then you know right then you violated and what you did wrong. And sometimes, you know, depending on the situation and the officer's mood and everything, it could be turned into an educational thing. I mean, I'll give you a quick example. When I was picking up my load, because I drive a truck for a living, and on a four-lane road, it wasn't a freeway. And I was in the left-hand lane because my GPS was saying that a half mile up, I had to make a left-hand turn. So I was in the left-hand lane. And next thing I know, I got the lights pulled on me, and I pull outside the road. And the first thing out of the officer's mouth is, if you had intentionally planned on turning a left-hand turn here, then I'm not going to give you a ticket. And I'm looking at him kind of stunned, like, what? What do you mean? He says, because you're driving a commercial vehicle, technically you're not supposed to be in that left lane. And, you know, I told him I wasn't from the area. I didn't know the area. And the GPS says that I got a turn coming up. So I was in this lane, you know, for that turn. He mumbled something about GPS systems and smiled, just says, well, I'm going to let you go this time. Consider this your driving lesson. You know, that was the officer's progress.
Now, that's something I did not know. I didn't know that commercial vehicles were not supposed to be in the left lane. They're in the left lane a lot when I drive.
Well, it depends. It depends if it's a freeway or whatever. But the point is that, okay, I didn't know that. I learned from the officer, and now I spread the word out to the other people I work with. When I see them in the left lane, I go, hey, you know, I was told that this. And they usually have the same response. Oh, well, I didn't know that. And they get in the right-hand lane. So the point was that, you know, I didn't get a ticket. I took the officer, you know, as what he intended, lesson learned. I follow it. Thank you very much for the info. And I spread the word out. Now, that is what law enforcement is really supposed to be.
Right. I agree.
In my
with
opinion.
That. I agree with that.
And that's what my friends who became police officers, that's why they became police officers.
Well, that's back to the old point that the idea of having police officers and the idea of having all of these facilities to be able to control the traffic and things. The idea is to make the highways safer. It's not just to nab people and make a buck, except that nowadays, of course, that's what it's all changed to. It's all about making that buck because that's what we need. And I understand that to a certain extent, but we just need to change our philosophy. But then we also got to change the philosophy, like Tony mentioned, and I'm not trying to pick on Tony because I was one of these people too, a lead foot type person. The idea is not to be out there and try to get away with it. The idea is to stay within the speed limit that you know what it is and to work within the laws rather than trying to find ways to get around the laws.
Yeah, but there was a time, too, that when we had the basic rule that you used your discretion based on the time of day, where you're at, the conditions of the roads. But anymore, we have to legislate everything because apparently we're not smart enough to walk and chew gum without somebody giving us permission to do it.
Well, I'm almost afraid to say it, but an awful lot of people are that way. Our attitude towards laws and our attitude towards regulations has changed over the years, and it's not changed for the better, unfortunately. We need to work on, as a society, making our society better and easier to get along with everybody. There is a problem with our society, I think, at this particular point.
No, it's a big problem. And there's more and more legislation coming down the road that do kind of at a loss for words, but you know,
well,
I'm supposing that somewhere there's even a law on which finger you can use to pick your nose.
And I would be in trouble with that one. But I tell you what, I'm back to my main push and my main thing, and I keep harping on this: 5 years. All laws must expire after 5 years. As I say, we can continue to put a back on there, but we'd have laws that at least make sense and have at least been tried and true rather than just a bunch of laws that are just on the books just because they're there. And at this particular point, if you wanted to, you can, anything you want to get somebody on, you can find a law somewhere that says you can or can't do that. And we need to get rid of that possibility. We need to get back to more logical movement. And then, as long as the laws don't mean anything, people are not going to pay any attention to them. And that's right now what it is. There are so many laws that are totally meaningless that people don't pay attention to the laws. So we've got to make some sort of a way to change that and get back to legitimate or realistic laws rather than just laws about everything.
Oh, I totally agree with you. I totally agree with you. And you know, whether it's 5 years, 10 years, or whatever, all laws should be audited for relevancy because, you know, times have changed. And there are still laws, crazy laws in the book that just totally don't apply anymore.
Absolutely. A law's about everything. Absolutely everything. Because the problem is, I'm going to start straying from our subject here because we're going to get into other things, but you've heard talk about lately in the last couple of days, this huge cruise liner that tipped over in the ocean out there near Italy. Well, you got 4,200 people that were on that ship, but now you watch. We're going to have hundreds of laws pop up because of something that happened or didn't happen on that cruise ship. That should not be used as an example. That should not be used as a reason to make more laws, because the simple fact is it just doesn't happen. When was the last time we had an accident like that on a cruise ship? I think it was the Titanic. It's just we've never had law accidents like that. So to all of a sudden rush in and make a bunch of laws that just really mean nothing and probably will mean nothing tomorrow, it's just absurd. But you watch, there'll be laws after laws and regulations that come up after this. And it was a terrible thing that this happened, but it really was not a standard thing. It was not a normal thing, and I doubt if we're going to see it happen again in our lifetime, probably. But it's just amazing that the people will jump up and down and holler, and of course they're going to hold everybody responsible. From what I understand in this particular case, maybe the captain is responsible for doing some things that he shouldn't have done. The thing that I've noticed, though, is that we need to be more prepared. We shouldn't have laws. We should have instructions. Let's put it that way. Everybody that I've heard of that was responding about this particular accident said that nobody told them what to do. And if they ask somebody, be it staff or crew or even just other passengers, nobody knew what to do. Everybody was giving instructions on what to do, and they're all at odds with each other. Everybody was just running around, and nobody was given any real instructions. And a lot of people literally had to swim ashore. This is a horrible thing, and it's not that warm out there.
Okay, well, I totally agree with you that, that may be something, an internal training book or whatever, but just because of one incident doesn't have to have a new law.
But you watch, they're going to have.
But you're right. There's a lot of laws. There's a couple of them recently that, I was going to say it slipped my mind, but I'll get back to you. We did a program on this, on wanting to limit all electronic devices within your vehicle, and the National Transportation Safety Board was saying that it voted unanimously to recommend this based on one person's screw-up.
Right.
You know, it's that 1% rule where 1% or 0.1%, because of the squeaky wheel, that this is what stands out, so they're assuming the other 99% must do it as well.
Well, and it can be all in good faith. I mean, a senator or a representative could be sitting there and see this horrible accident, something took place, and it was really sad that someone had to lose their life, and so all of a sudden, well, if we just said you can't do this, then that can't ever happen. Well, first of all, just making a law saying you can't do it doesn't mean that people are not going to do it to begin with, and so that isn't going to make a difference anyway. So we should be more conservative in the laws that we make, and we should be more what's the opposite of conservative with the education. We should be educating people on television, on the radio, or whatever about things rather than just making laws and saying you can't do this, you can't do that, because that law isn't going to mean a thing. People are going to ignore that law, whereas just like with smoking and such, you go put these educational ads on television about how smoking can affect you or do things to you, and people pay more attention to that than they do to just somebody slapping a law and they're saying you can't do this. And half of the time, people don't even know about the law.
Well, that too. And it's just like the old adage about when you're growing up, you know, do as I say, not as I do. You know, you can say, your parents can tell you, Cliff, I don't want you to smoke. Why? You do it because it's bad for you. But you do it, and then you're curious, et cetera. But, you know, But they approach it just like, Cliff, we don't want you to smoke because this is what it can do to you. You know, it can cause cancer, it can cause black lung, it can cause blah, 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 all types of stuff, and approach you in an intelligent manner then chances are you may think twice before, well, you know, I'm just going to go ahead and do it because, you know, they told me not to.
That's exactly what I did, too, by the way. But I never really did do much smoking, and maybe for a year when I was being told not to, I tried it just to be stubborn. But when I grew up and had kids, I didn't smoke, and my kids didn't smoke for a long time. After a while, one of them did. He was a foster kid. But the point is, most of my kids didn't smoke because they didn't have me smoking at home and being such a hypocrite about the whole thing. If you're saying that it's bad for you, but it isn't bad for me, then that's absurd. They're not going to believe that, and they're going to do what they want to do.
Well, it's like George Carlin pointed out one time in one of his stints, is, you know, stupid laws, stupid rules. You know, like one of them, don't sing at the table. Why not? Somebody with a bad voice one time screwed it up for the rest of us?
Yeah, really. Really.
Of course, he says some laws make sense, like don't run down the hallway with scissors in your hand. Yeah, no kidding. That sharp thing can go right through me. But like I say, some laws make sense. Other laws are just kind of like, you know, whatever.
Well, and the point is, when you're raising kids, it's real important that you explain why you should or should not do something. It's important that they understand why. If you just say, don't do this, that means virtually nothing to anybody. And in almost every instance, human beings have this tendency when they're told not to do something, that makes them want to do it more. But if they know that if you're going to run around the hallways with that pair of scissors and it's a possibility that you could fall and have it stab you right through the stomach and then perhaps even show them a picture of someone who had that happen to them, perhaps they'd think twice about it then.
Exactly. But when it comes down to, like I say, we make mistakes. Intentional or not, people are going to make mistakes. And when you have a piece of machinery out there that's going to capture you the millisecond that you make that mistake, I mean, like, again, going back to this photo radar, 11 miles an hour, yeah, it's quite a variance. You got to really push it to, 11 miles over the speed limit. Okay, fine. You know, unless, of course, like in my case, I wasn't sure what the speed limit was, and I assumed, okay, even still. You know, I was shooting for 55, it was 50. You know, it's my fault for not knowing the speed limit on the road, I guess. But
if you had gone 55 and the speed limit was 50, they would have still let you go through because they're usually 10 miles over the speed limit.
Right.
So the point is that everyone, if you're out on the road and you're driving and using those facilities, then you should know how fast you're going and you should know what the speed limit is. But I do know some places where there are places where you don't know what the speed limit is. And let's spend a few more dollars on signs to tell you, you know, if you've got a corner there, a curve, and you have that sign immediately before the curve, not immediately after the curve, so that you can adjust to go through that curve. But let's get some more signs. Let's spend our money on the signs, not on machines to trap you.
I totally agree with you. Like I said, well, I came out onto this road from a side street. I remember explicitly going, how fast do I go here? It looks like a regular freeway, like I-5 or something like that, or whatever. It's a four-lane road. I was thinking basic rule. I didn't know it was 50 miles. 50 miles an hour is kind of dumb anyways. You know, why not make it 55?
Well, why not have some consistency? You know, if it's going to be 55 or 50, let's have it that way everywhere. Let's not just, you know, let's not just make up a sign or a speed limit to for every particular 10-mile section or a 5-mile section or whatever. Let's get some consistency and then have signs.
Exactly. I don't know, and like I say, allow for some variance because, even if I assumed wrong, when I come up to the next sign, it'd be like, oh, well, speed limit's this way, and I will adjust accordingly. Because people like me, because I have a clean record, and hopefully next week I'll still have a clean record. You know,
yeah.
I make a point of following the rule. And I guess that's one thing that just really frustrates me both about this is the fact that, one, I could have screwed up. I don't know because the reader board wasn't lit up, or at least it was, but I didn't notice it. Two, I couldn't face my accuser.
Right, right.
You know, when an officer pulls you over, you know, you can talk to the officer. You can find out, okay, well, whatever, but you can face him.
And then the camera doesn't know you just pulled out of a side road and didn't, you know, wasn't just deliberately speeding. The camera doesn't understand that. So that's why I say we need to well, of course, again, there's no money to hire the extra the people and to have the officers there to control the things like they should be doing. So it all goes back to our economy a great deal. When the economy straightens out, everybody's working and there's more money and there's more officers and there's more cash to go around, it's going to make a big difference. Our economy is making a lot of difference in what's happening in our country, and it's making a big difference in what's happening in our society as well. So we've got to do something about adjusting it. And it's not just us, by the way. It's happening in the whole world at this particular point. But we do have to do – I think we are pretty much a leader in this. We are such a big economy that we've got to do something first, and we aren't doing it yet.
Well, I think part of the thing is, and this is, this is off topic, but when I used to work for a large international corporation, one of the things that I heard a lot when it came down to spending money is, oh, this company's got deep pockets. It won't affect them. Well, 8 years later, that closed. You know, it's all because of tax breaks. It's all because of whatever. And I think part of the thing is, you know, we're the United States of America. We're the greatest country on earth. You know, and we're also, as far as some places, considered one of the wealthiest countries on earth. And so it's very easy to say, well, you know, they got deep pockets. They don't have to work some money. Which, if you push it into what, and I know I'm going to light a fire under cliff for this one, President Obama is requesting more money.
Oh, yeah, $1.2 billion. We're back at this again. Well, getting on that same idea, we're running out of time. We do have another GOP debate tonight at 9 o'clock on Fox News. So I want to let you know that John Huntsman, as of today, is stepping out of the race. So we're narrowing it down one by one by one. But we do have a debate tonight at 9 o'clock Eastern time, by the way, 6 o'clock our time, on our time being West Coast, on Fox News. Now, that's tonight. Then we have another debate on CNN on the 19th at 5 o'clock, 5 o'clock our time, 8 o'clock Eastern time. So we got two debates coming up, and it'll be interesting to see how they're doing. And it'll be interesting because, as I say, we're people are just dropping out because, you know, the Huntsman, there was no reason for him to be there. He didn't receive enough votes or enough response to what he was saying to make it worth his time, and I don't blame him for dropping out. But we now have Romney on top there. We've got Newt Gingrich coming up in second place. Probably third place would be Ron Paul, and fourth place is Santorum. So that's is that it?
You know, it still sounds like a horse race to me. And coming up on the far end, Ron Paul followed by Newt Gingrich. Newt Gingrich coming up on the lead, and he's up there by a nose, and followed by...
It actually is that, and that's why I'm so interested in it. I find it very, very interesting to see what they're doing and who leaves next and what they're going to be saying when the others leave. But it is also, again, I'm going to reiterate, this is going to probably be the most important election in your life, and you've got to pay attention and start looking at what's happening in your state as well as the national race, because there are an awful lot of people being changed in Senate seats and House seats for your state, and you need to find out who they are and pick the best person in this particular case in every one of those instances too, because there's going to be some huge changes, and it's going to be real interesting to see if we don't have Mr. Obama as a president next time, is the Senate going to be, you know, Democratic and the House Republican, or vice versa, or are they both going to be Republican? What's going to happen, and how is that going to affect whoever gets into office, whether it be somebody just from this side that's going to step into office, or whether it's going to be Mr. Obama again for another term? And just because it's a possibility that Obama could actually become president again, that doesn't mean things aren't going to change radically. He's already, I think, looking to the change because He's not going to have Democratic Congress and a Democratic Senate, whether it's a Democratic House, if he gets the presidency the next time. So he's already looking at changing his mind and changing what he wants to do, and I can see that in some of the things that he's saying on the I don't know what to call it. It's he's stumping for office as well as everybody else is, but we're paying for it, so I don't know what to call that. But it's real important that you pay attention and watch one or both of these debates that are coming up, and then you've got in South Carolina the primary, which is on January 21st. That's as far as we've got going so far. I've got that all on the front page of KRBNradio.com if you want to go check it out and look and see what's happening. I'm trying to keep up to date with that stuff as much as possible, and amongst other things that are going on as well. So that's...
And to throw out there, too, you know, like you're talking about Obama changing his mind, you know, this quote from him, I'd rather be a really good one-term president than a mediocre two-term president.
Well, that we've already known that's, now that that's a law, that's a lie. I'm quite sure he very much wants to be a two-term president regardless. You know, and he isn't mediocre about it, by the way. He's absolutely terrible.
A lot of people think so, but I got a question for you. But first I want to throw out there, we got 14 minutes remaining in the program. There's still time to give us a call, 646-721-9887. And as you heard, when Tony called in, it's very painless and kind of fun, actually. 646-721-9887. My question is for you, is like, as we're getting closer to the election time, why would like Hutchman or other people just work so hard to this point and then just drop out? Why not just follow it all the way up until the time of the nominations?
Well, the simple fact is that it costs a lot of money for each state that you're going to be going out to and talking to. John Huntsman didn't do anything much in the Iowa primary, or whatever you want to call that, caucus. Then he did actually spend a lot of time, a huge amount of time, for almost a year in anticipation of the next one. And he went out and he talked to people and he went to places and he went to many, 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 many places. And after doing all of that and spending all that time and all that money that he had, he got very, very little response. He didn't do very well at all. And consequently, that's why I'm sure he went back and reassessed the fact that I didn't do well in this, and that was my best bet, because that was my state, that was where I lived, and I still didn't do very well, so I may as well step out of it rather than throwing bad money after more bad money. And that's, I'm sure, how he reevaluated it. I'm looking for Rick Perry to do the same thing. That's the one I forgot. He is the fifth one. And he's pretty much on the bottom. I didn't expect him to do well in the first place, because the simple fact is the only reason Rick Perry came in and did such a big thing in Iowa was because he stepped in at the very last moment and made a big splash, because he waited until the last moment to even enter the race. And so he got a lot more free publicity than he really should have gotten because of that. And then he went, you know, did very well, but he hasn't got the stamina to back it up. He hasn't got the philosophy to back it up, although he's a long ways from being terrible. But he hasn't got the programs and the ideas that Mitt Romney and Newt Gingrich have. Ron Paul, of course, has this backing of people, this group of people that are helping him out, that he has had for years. This is not something he just started doing. He's been doing this for like 10 or 12 or 15 years that he's been working on this, and he's been gathering up this group of young people that are behind him in a lot of ways. And, of course, a couple of things that Ron Paul, the reason he gets big numbers of people helping him out, is two major things. One is he wants to legalize marijuana. And, of course, when you got a whole bunch of young people out there and they hear that, they're going to be all behind you. They're going to be all for it. Whether that's true or not, or good or not, or bad or not, that's what they're going to do. And the other thing is, of course, is the military is all behind him, because he wants to eliminate all these people overseas and bring them home. And all of these people in the military would love to do that. So his philosophy is a little bit far out there and far-reaching, but he's going to stay through it to the end, I'm sure, because he always does that. He has the machine in order and working, and it does work for him. So I think the next one to probably drop out at this particular point, if he doesn't do well, will be Rick Perry. As far as I can see. Now, Santorum has done fairly decently in this particular position because he has some ideas. He does have some philosophies that could be something useful, and I've watched him on doing different debates and different speeches, and he does have some good ideas. So he's still in there. Now, whether or not he's going to do well in South Carolina, I think that will be the deciding point for him as well. But that's the only two that are going to drop out. Newt Gingrich and Romney are going to be headed to the bitter end, I think. And we can look forward to seeing them fighting it out to the end. I can't see any other way.
Well, I guess we'll find out. You know, my money's still on Seabiscuit.
You know, and that's the thing. You're right about that. It is like a horse race. It is a very exciting thing to see and watch if you're paying attention. That's why I really want everybody to pay attention to what's going on tonight. It's tonight at 9 o'clock Eastern time, 6 o'clock Western time, I guess we can say, on Fox News. So if you live in between there, you know that you have to figure out what time it is on your own because nobody pays any attention to you in the middle. Sorry. And then again on third, well, people don't. Everything is Eastern or Western because that's where all the population is. Basically, it's all put down as Eastern. Everybody tells you when it is in Eastern time, and you have to figure it out from there. At least it's fairly easy if you're.
I had a customer one time call me from Alaska, and I go, okay, what time zone are you in? They go, we're one behind you. It's like, what? We're never behind me. Or, you know, we're always behind the other three. We're never in front of anybody, I guess, is what I'm trying to say.
Them in Hawaii, Alaska and Hawaii.
Yeah.
But anyway, that's the two. Tonight and on the 19th as well, at 8 o'clock Eastern time on the 19th, and that one's also in South Carolina that they're going to be debating. So two more times to get an idea of what's being said and what's being talked about before the South Carolina primary. Our primary, by the way, is in May, so we got quite a few more to go before Oregon has to jump in there. But we are being heard around the world, and there are a lot of people around the world that are following this and watching the horse race, as you call it, because it is an interesting race. It is an interesting thing that's going on. It's not, and that's good because this is an important race. Important things to be talked about, and this couldn't be anywhere nearly as good. It would not be nearly as important or nearly as much fun to watch if Mr. Obama wasn't such a terrible president and such a terrible job of doing what he's doing. And he's changing his whole attitude and his whole opinion, buddy. You watch. By the time the actual election comes around, he will be doing things that go along with a lot of the things that the Republicans are espousing at the moment.
I totally agree with you. I mean, if you watch him carefully lately, you know, he's been kind of trying to do things that, he's counting on, basically he's counting on people that have very short memories. And according to one, I forget what, it might have been a CBS poll, one of those were saying that people are going to be electing or voting for the representative of their choice based on their personality, not on their record.
Well, yeah, that's got to. Well, see, it has to be based on personality because Obama had no record. He had no record when we elected him. And boy, did we find out that you need to have somebody that knows what's going on. And I have so many people say, well, I don't want a politician. I want somebody who has never been a politician before, somebody who has different ideas. Well, you know, that's a good thought if you want to get down to it. But the real practical matter is, if you're going to be electing a president, you need to have somebody who has an idea of what is going on before he gets in there. You can't. This is the highest job in the world. The most important person in the world should not be in there on the job training. He should not be learning as he goes along. He should have some idea of what's going on before he steps into that position. And this is the most important job in the world.
How do you do that? I mean, there's no school, you know. What do you do? Go down to your local community college and take a course on how to be the president?
I hear that a lot, that
somebody has no experience. The only way somebody has experience being a president is if they were a president.
No, not at all true. You take somebody like Newt Gingrich, who has been Speaker of the House. First of all, he started out as being just a He was a representative in the House of Representatives, so he learned part of it there. And then he actually worked his way up because he's smart enough and had enough ideas to become Speaker of the House. Speaker of the House is a breath away from being the president. So if you're going to be the Speaker of the House, you understand and know what's going on, plus the fact he worked with Reagan and with Clinton a great deal to know what's going on and how to work with them and how to work around them and how to get things done. So that's how you pick somebody who's going to be president. You don't go pick somebody who has never had anything to do with it before. And just being a business person is not the answer, by the way, although that would actually have gone a long ways if Obama had even had that kind of experience. He had no experience whatsoever when we put him in there. So being a business person, being someone who has made businesses work or not work, it would be one thing. That's what Romney has going for him. But the same token, nobody has the experience going in there. Actually, Santorum has more experience than Romney does at being in government, and so he would be a better position to put in there than Romney. But the one final answer is Newt Gingrich. He's been there and done it all. He's not been president, but he's been so close that he's worked with two or three presidents and worked with them very closely and made things happen. He's the one who has made things happen. He knows how to do it. He knows what it takes to make it happen, and that's why we should be talking about putting him in presidency, not somebody with that needs experience, needs to learn how to do it as they when they get there. That's just not the way we need to do this.
Well, and hopefully that the thing that he can make happen are the things that we want him to make happen.
Well, that's why you need to sit down and watch these things going on, because you need to hear what his ideas are, and you need to pick somebody who's got the better of all the ideas. Like I say, Santorum or Huntsman, who just dropped out, both have more actual governmental experience than does Mr. Romney. And both of them had some good ideas. Neither of them have as many good ideas as does Newt Gingrich. So even though, you know, right now what the deal is the people, everybody would be for Newt Gingrich, except some people know that he does have a temper. He does get upset, and he doesn't mind, you know, lashing out at people once in a while when that happens. He's been very good and very well controlled in this last big go-around, but in the past he has lashed out. That's okay. It's okay to get mad once in a while. It's okay to make people mad at you once in a while, but he does have the smarts and the education and the experience to know what to do. So just because I don't agree with everything he wants to do, that doesn't make him wrong. Doesn't necessarily make me wrong. But at least I have the assurance that he has been there and has done most of this, and he has a good idea as to why he wants to do what he's doing. Now, maybe it's not good for me, you know. But I think personally he has a better. He's more into keeping a big presence overseas militarily. I think we should keep bring almost all of our people back. I think we should stop with all of this.
Where does Gingrich stand on Obamacare?
Oh, that's Obamacare, and those three things will be completely turned off right from day one. He's even laid it down as to how he would do that. But basically, the very first day he is in office, Obamacare, Dodd-Frank, or whatever it is, and one other one will also go by the boards, totally. So he's already laid that out and how to do it. But I think we need to get rid of all of this foreign aid to all of this. You know, do you realize that we've had a complete regime change in Egypt, and yet we still gave them $1.2 billion this year? So we've got to stop doing that as well. We're out of time already? Oh, my gosh. So
we're
anyway,
out of time already. Go ahead, real quick, 10 seconds.
I'm going to say go ahead and check out these debates coming up. And I certainly appreciate everybody coming by. It's been fun talking with you, and we'll do it again next week.
That's right. And again, thank you, Tony, for chiming in. Check his blog site out, Blog Talk Radio, exconservative.com, exconservative radio, excuse me. And again, we'll be back next Monday, 1 p.m. And if you have any topics, send us an email. We'd love to hear from you anyways. So until next week, bye-bye.
Be sure to
check us out on the internet at www.krbnradio.com or email us with your show ideas at talk@krbnradio.com. This is KRBN Internet News Talk Radio.